This is Mary Bobo of the U of L Oral History Project. Today is February 28, 1979. Today I'm interviewing Ms. Evelyn Weiss. Her date of birth is 1906. She was born in Mobile, Alabama, and presently lives in Louisville, Kentucky. Her parents' names were Edna Solomon, born in Kentucky, and Milton Brown, born in 1878 in Mobile, Alabama. Mrs. Weiss, under what circumstances did you come to Louisville?
I came as a visitor to visit family and met my husband, Dr. Weiss, who was in practice for another 2 years at that time. Having returned to Louisville to practice for cardiology after attending University of Louisville Medical School.
About what year was this? Do you
remember? This was 1930.
Do you remember what your first impressions of Louisville were?
Well, I'd always loved Kentucky. All my friends at college seemed to have been Kentuckian, having nothing to do with the fact that I had roots here. I always enjoyed Kentucky people. I thought that Kentucky was a beautiful place and a very warm, tight community. And I thought it would be a nice place to live, though I never had any idea that I would live here.
You mentioned roots. You do have a family heritage that goes back quite a few generations in Louisville. Could you tell us about this?
Well, I am fourth generation. My mother was born here. Her parents came to this country with what would be my great-grandfather, the father of my grandmother, whose name was
So your great-grandmother's name then was Eva Bach Solomon.
My grandmother was Eva Bach Solomon. Her father was J.S. Bach, and he was the oldest member coming to this country.
What business were the ancestors that you can remember involved in?
My grandfather had a number of small stores in the small communities, such as Elizabethtown, Vine Grove, and other small towns in through the state of Kentucky.
Did they ever live in Louisville?
Then, when his children were school age, and so they could take advantage of attending school in the city, he came to Louisville with his family, and he continued to have contacts with the stores that he had established, and also went into other activities here in the city, and eventually lived here entirely.
Now, is it through this grandfather that you have the connection with your mother or with your father? I believe there was something about the yellow fever epidemic and then
well,
panic in the
south. My mother and father met due to the fact that my father's family came to visit relatives here during the yellow fever epidemic which struck the south. My mother met my father at this time, and they were subsequently married. And then, of course, their life was in Mobile, where my father had his place of business.
Tell us something about your father's.
That business, interestingly enough, is now one of the oldest family businesses in the state of Alabama, having had its 100th anniversary in 1977.
What was this involved with?
This was originally involved with the covering of cotton, and in later years has gone into different types of coverings under the main weather type tarpaulins.
Is this the name of the business?
Brown and Brown was the name of the business, and it still carries the same name. It's four generations of Browns.
Do you remember anything particular about your family life as a child?
Oh, I remember it all very keenly. Well, I was born and reared to age 10 in the home in which my father was born, in which my grandmother lived for 55 years. At age 11, we built a new home in a different part of the city, that original home having been now part of the restored area in Mobile.
Was this a time of upward mobility for other Jewish families around? Time of moving up in mobility as far as prospering when you moved to this second home?
Not necessarily. My grandfather's generation was the one who really came to this country with absolutely nothing, and they were the ones who prospered and did very well and had a large home, and I would say there was no difference in the circumstances, or one was in, like every city, the newer part of the city, but was not a step up socially or financially.
But this original home is in the restoration area of Mobile now.
It has been, when the last large interstate belt highway went into the city, that land was taken and the house was torn down brick by brick and rebuilt in another area, which is now a restoration area. But they rebuilt the house completely.
Can you remember some special anecdotes about your childhood?
Yes, during one of the tropical storms for which the South was famous and still is, I think Camille was the last one on the Gulf Coast, my grandmother stood at the window, watched the storm, and wrote her name, Eleonora Brown, cut it into the glass window with her diamond ring. And when that house was torn down and restored, my brother took the window, which was the original old English glass with the teardrops in it, and he now has that frame, and that's the one relic we have personally in the family from the old home.
That's interesting. Tell us about your schooling. Did you go to Jewish school?
I attended Barton Academy, which is also a landmark in the South. It was used during the Civil War for the Confederate soldiers. It's still a beautiful old building. It's no longer a school. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it belongs to the Board of Education. But Barton Academy is a landmark. And I'm a graduate of that. It was, there were only two classes after I graduated before they had a modern school. It, at that time, was the only high school in Mobile County. And from there, with a great deal of effort, I was able to get into Goucher College in Baltimore, Maryland.
Did you have to go any place to complete, say, your last 2 years of high school?
No, I didn't. I probably was ill-advised. I probably should have, because most people did. But I managed by taking extra courses to get in with enough credits and thoroughly enjoyed my years at Goucher College.
Do you remember something about the synagogues that you attended as a young girl?
We had a very old, very beautiful synagogue that was the Reformed Temple. It was known as, we called it the temple, not the synagogue. And that has since been replaced by a very beautiful new edifice. And it's still a congregation about the same size as it was that many years ago.
Was there anything sort of binding as far as the community, the neighborhood was concerned, or the Jewish community that you can remember in Mobile?
It was a very closely knit community. There was a lot of, families intermarriage, not same families, but one family would marry into another family, and then the nieces and nephews of one family would marry back into the other family. And while it was no blood relationship marriages, there were a lot of, it was a very closely knit community, which I think, it was a small city then. It was, say, 60,000, now it's about 265 or 300,000, which makes a great difference, but that's true in all cities today. It was a almost entirely German-Jewish community.
Well, let's move then in time from the time that you left Mobile and went to college, and then was it about this time that you came on to Louisville after finishing school and met your husband?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your early years here, your early married years.
I enjoyed Louisville very much. Dr. Weiss was a Clevelander, so we were both more or less strangers to the community, though he had ties through his being here during his years at medical school, and I had, by that time, very few and rather elderly relatives left. And we immediately felt very at home, very comfortable, and became part of the out of Israel temple, in which my mother had been confirmed and married, and which all of our family had attended. And then we became affiliated, and our children all were confirmed and had all of their contacts there. And now the grandchildren have. So we've always been closely associated. That is now out of Israel, with Shoah. You know, there's a consolidation of two temples.
Just for the record, where was the location of this temple out of Israel?
On 3rd Street near York.
And I believe you're very close to the new temple that's being built.
The new temple's being built across the road here on Lime Kill Lane and 42 Highway.
Thinking back on those years, what were the things that you found here that gave a sense of community in Louisville to Jewish people in general?
Well, I think it was a group of interested people. I think they were rather religiously oriented. I think it was a temple of there again, a Reformed temple, but it had one of deep roots with the early beginnings of Reformed Judaism being as close as we are to Cincinnati. And that's where, that was the seat where Isaac M. Wise started Reformed Judaism. And I think it's always been a very active, interested, and a rather large congregation. I think there were about 600 families.
Can you note any changes that have taken place in the congregation itself and its attitudes towards?
Well, it's going to be a great deal larger now than it has ever been because we're adding 300 to 600, and that's going to be a large group. But there again, I think it will be homogeneous, and our practices and thoughts and interests are the same because we're all of the Reform persuasion, and we have rabbis who are interested in, I think, leading us in the ways that are being chosen now generally with the Union of American Hebrew Congregations as our overseer and suggester of policy. And there is quite a lot of change, which is modern and I suppose the right way to go. We hope so.
Do you see a continuation, though, of the traditions with your children and their grandchildren as you remember them being passed on to you?
Yes. Yes, I do. But I think that's usually true in close-knit families, which we have had. You're inclined to do in your home what your parents did. And we have kind of gone down through years doing what the generation before did, such as celebrating the Seder service and attending services and marking the holidays appropriately.
Can you think back on your various activities with organizations here in Louisville and some of the things that most influenced the development of, say, a particular organization that you were more involved with and some others?
Unfortunately, for the last many years, I have not gotten re-involved, but I have always belonged to Hadassah for 40-odd years. I was active in the Council of Jewish Women. I was active in Abbot Israel Sisterhood and worked, I had three children confirmed in the temple and therefore was active with the Sunday school. And all of this was many years ago. At this point, the only activity I'm still continuing with is the Jewish Community Center group known as Club 60, with whom I have been active for somewhere between 30 and 40 years. And I continue to give them one day a week and enjoy this. I have now become one of the senior citizens by quite a few years, but I started in my late 30s, early 40s working with them. I've done other things. Among one of the things that I enjoyed really the most was through the Council of Jewish Women some 8 or 10 years ago, I did volunteer teaching. That was a council project. And I worked at Barry Junior High, and it was a very wonderful, successful from the standpoint of helping these underprivileged children. I think I had more satisfaction doing this than almost anything I ever did, because they just bloomed like flowers with the one-to-one training which we were able to do for them. That was a Council of Jewish Women project, which was eventually taken over by the Board of Education.
Well, with your own children, are they now going through the Jewish Day School, the Jewish Hebrew School? Are they involved in public schools?
Well, that would be my grandchildren. I have 3 children, a doctor, an attorney, and 1 daughter who has 3 children. And I have 7 grandchildren ranging in ages from 6 to 22. Most of them have been through the Sunday school and have gone to, some of them have gone to the private school, some of them have gone to public school. I guess about evenly divided. And they're almost, with the exception of 3, have reached seniors in high school and seniors in college. And I have 1 6-year-old who's still involved in Sunday school, or just getting involved in Sunday school. But that's the grandchildren generation rather than my children.
Well, back to your own children, did they, were here in Louisville?
My own children went all through public school here in Louisville. I think my oldest son was in one of the last classes of male high school, being male high school as such, just a school for boys. My daughter graduated from Atherton. I believe it was already co-educational, just about. They seemed to come along about the time of all the new ideas in education. And then my younger son graduated from Atherton. That's Dr. Morris' wife, Emily Kaiser, and Alan's wife.
Going back again for a few minutes, tell me something about how you remember World War II days here in Louisville. And
very rugged times. My husband was not in the service. He was kept here as what was called, now let me see, I'd like to give you the right terminology, as one who was needed in the community. He examined the soldiers for induction every day for half a day. He taught at the medical school. He continued to practice medicine, because so many of the doctors were in service. It was about a 24-hour day, and it was a very, very strenuous time. But it was during the time that the children were growing up, and we managed to have as much as possible a family life, but there was very little through those years. And that must have been at least 4 years that my husband came home so little that we hardly knew he was there.
Thinking back on the years leading up to World War II, of course, was such a terrible time for Jewish people in Europe. Some of the individuals we have talked to had relatives to come over during this time. Now, I realize your family has been here for many years, but do you have close friends or distant relatives?
I have quite a few friends, and I worked with Mrs. Klang, who was so very, very active with the council. Selma Kling is a legend in the community now, and unfortunately passed away several years ago, not before she was given all kinds of honors for the work that she did, but she did a great deal in helping to establish homes and make these people comfortable when they came to Louisville, and there were quite a lot who came. And I enjoyed working with her and helping her with that. And we did everything we could and gave everything that wasn't being used and so forth to settle homes and places for them to live and try to get them jobs and make them feel at home.
Well, this would be a difficult job at any time, but did you feel any support from the community at large in doing this?
I think the community did a wonderful job. Yes, I do. And I think Selma Kling was really the backbone of a lot of, or at least the part in which I was involved. I'm sure there were a lot of other people who were involved, but I worked actively with her and under her. And she was, as I'm sure, one of the outstanding people in the community, as is her husband still at his age. He's working now with the elderly and everything that can be done for them politically and otherwise.
What you find really is that people who just really cared about other people have been involved in these organizations, the different projects that you have.
I think that's true with most organizations, don't you? The ones who really get the things done are the ones who feel it deeply within them and feel the urge to do it and the responsibility to do it. I think that's true with every organization and every walk of life, whether it's regardless of religion or any other circumstances, I find is I've done club work with the ones who really feel, who are the doers. And if they do one thing, they do another. The more things the real doers, or if you want somebody to help you with something, you ask one of these busy people, it's an old expression, I know, but they're the ones who have done things through the years. So many of them are gone, some of them are moved away from the city. But we have always had a very active Jewish community that's done a lot of outstanding work in the city, as well as for the ones who've come to the city, and right now, they're doing a very good job with the ones who are coming from Russia.
Tell us something about what you know
of
this.
Well, I've been involved with a few of these people through their coming to Club 60. They're a lot of young people who are able to come, who know the language, and are able to find a place, a niche in the community and a place for themselves. So older people who are so lost, and they come to Club 60 and we try to make them feel at home And we've had some very interesting, very knowledgeable people with good backgrounds and who had professions in their native countries. Some are able to fit in because they are able to grasp the language. I've had experience with one in particular who was capable, charming, pleasant, wanted to cooperate, and simply could not manage because she couldn't master the language. That makes it very difficult. But generally speaking, these people come and they find their place and they learn the language and fall into things very nicely. In this Club 60, which is a group of elderly way past 60, there are a great many German people who've been in this country 20 years, 30 years, who are still active and have a lot to give and to offer. And some of the ones who come in recent years have fallen right in to be able to cope with the new country. Once in a while you find one who has problems, but we try to, through the Federation and the group who handle this, to help them through.
Are these people generally locating throughout the community? Are they locating close to the community center?
Some of them are. It's a very nice thing if they can, because there are so many activities. And now they're building.
To our community. Tell me more about this home that's being built.
Well, it's an apartment house, really. It's not considered a home as such. And people may put in their requests. There'll be a lot of local people, too, elderly people who are still living in homes that feel it's time to get away from the responsibilities. And as I understand it, and I'm not an authority on this, the rental will be commensurate with what people are able to pay. And that looks as if it won't be too long before it's available. Most of these Russians, the ones whom I have come in contact with, and that's a small, I'm sure, minority of the people who have come, live in the Highlands, and a few of them whom I've known closely have lived on streets around community center where they can walk over to the community center for activities.
Let's go back again for a few minutes. I'm interested in pursuing a little bit further this matter of your family going back so far in Kentucky history. I believe you said that your father's family came during the yellow fever epidemics. Do you remember where they lived? And tell us some of the circumstances.
Well, they came here as visitors to the Adolph Moses family. And where the Adolph Moses family lived at that time, I don't know. But it was almost everybody lived in what is now called the inner city. My mother was married in a home on next door to the historical club. It is the Filson Club. She was married, whatever that address is, right next door to the Filson Club. Two of those houses have been put together for the Filson Club. The one next door to it was where her mother was living when she married, and the people lived in that general area. When I was a very young child and visited here, they were living like on 2nd Street, 3rd Street, 4th Street, in the closer to town areas. And then I think they moved a little farther out. I had family living at 1910 South 3rd, which is right up for the monument at the university. From there, the same people moved into the Highlands, but closer into town in the Highlands. I don't think there was ever a community where people moved as often and out farther and farther and farther, because many cities aren't built so that you can do that. They are surrounded by water, or they have one reason or another that you can't just keep going. Then, by the time I married and came to Louisville, the Highlands had gotten, the Jewish community in the Highlands had gotten out about as far as Eastern Parkway. And then they continued to move out Bardstown Road. And I'll tell you another organization which I was very active with, and I don't know why it slipped my mind, was the Heart Association. Dr. Weiss established the Heart Association with Bob Thornberry, who's just getting ready to retire at age 75, I think. He was the executive secretary, and he and Maury went all over the state of Kentucky and established the Heart Association, which will be 30 years old, the Kentucky Heart Association, which will be 30 years old in June of this year. They celebrated their 29th anniversary last June. And you asked me a question. When I was working with the Heart Association, we felt that if you got out as far as a Bonnie Castle, that was way out in the Highlands. Before we got through, we discovered that we had gotten out as far as Gardner Lane, and then out as far as Bashford Manor, and as now the city has grown, out Bardstown Road, Brownsboro Road, and we're just a much bigger community than we were before. And this particular area at Brownsboro Road, around the Lime King Hill Lane area, seems to be the active area now where people have moved and have built.
I believe you mentioned to me that you have at least one rabbi in your family tree too, did you not?
We've had several. Rabbi Moses, Adolph Moses, was the first, and that was three generations ago. And then his son was a rabbi in Mobile where I grew up, and he both confirmed and married me and my family. And I have two first cousins who have been married to rabbis, one who's passed away and one who's been rabbi emeritus. And yes, there have been quite a few rabbis in our family.
Ms. Weiss, both you and your husband have been so active in the community and in the care of heart patients, and I know this is a subject dear to your heart. Were you ever very active in the drive yourself in the Heart Association?
Yes. The first place to accompany my husband a great many times on these trips that he made through
state of Kentucky establishing the heart associations in the smaller cities. And then after his death, I was chairman of Heart Sunday for the women's group for the Louisville and Jefferson County Heart Sunday Drive. And for a number of years after that, I was on the board of the Louisville and Jefferson County Heart Association. Ms. Weiss, at this point, would you tell me something about Dr. Weiss's interest in rare medical books? I believe he was quite a collector.
Yes, he was, starting the time he was in medical school and going through right up to the end of his life. He was a searcher and usually found something of interest and had no duplicates, but had some approximately 6,000 volumes, which upon his death, our three children, Dr. Weiss, Emily Keisler, Alan Weiss, and I decided to give to the University of Louisville Medical Library. I understand from the librarian they've been greatly used and much appreciated, and we're grateful that these books, which were many of very rare, have been not only appreciated but used. It just gives us pleasure. Well, in case anybody's interested in my grandmother, she came from Alsace, the land country, spoke French and German, and wrote both languages fluently, and continued to correspond with her family, some younger ones who were still living, until she was 86 years old when she passed away.
And this was your grandmother here in Louisville or in Mobile?
No, this was my grandmother in Mobile, who was Eleanor Isaac's grand.
Well, Ms. Weiss, we just really appreciate you talking with us today, and anytime you have anything you want to add to the tapes, just give us a call and we'll be right out.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your coming to me, and I enjoyed getting to know you, and wish you lots of luck with the continuing of this very worthwhile activity.